Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What a night indeed. Fun stuff going on with two Major League Baseball LCS games and, of course, another upset when it comes to Thursday night football. Welcome in. It is a Football Friday. We'll squeeze some Major League Baseball in there as well. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovic with you for the next 3 hours here on Bet Sweats, a full breakdown of the entire National Football League card. We will revisit some of our favorite college football plays. Maybe we've added to that as well. We've got two more games, LCS, today that we'll go over. Our Friday feels, Kelly in Vegas drops by, and we'll find out where the room is at heading into the weekend. How you feeling, Sam, on this Friday morning?
Who needs Joe Burrow when you've got Joe Flacco? I saw a bunch of this last night on social. People inside the stadium had shirts that said Joe Burrow on the front and then put an orange X through Burrow and wrote Flacco underneath. Your job in Cincinnati is simple. Get the ball to the guys that are really good. Let's throw it 23 times to Ja'Marr Chase and 10 times to T. Higgins and just see what happens. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, Sam's not being hyperbolic. 23 targets for Ja'Marr Chase. How about this show and that game? We nailed everything that we talked about with the game. We said, let's go Bengals plus 5.5. You were all over Chase Brown at a low number. That cashed early. People are tweeting us at bet_sweats. I'm at Joe Ostrowski, Sam at SB Shoot. People are tweeting us during the game. That's one of the easiest cashes I've ever had with Chase Brown. He didn't even have that many rushing attempts. He went under on the rushing attempts, which we can get to. That cleared. I was on Ja'Marr Chase. It was 73.5 at the time of the show. It went up a couple of yards. Did not matter. You mentioned 23 targets. Of course, he cleared the 73 in the hook. And I gave out Flacco pass attempts, 36.5. Sam, he had 47. That was almost cleared at the end of the third quarter. It was like their first offensive play into the fourth quarter when that ended up clearing. So good night for the show. We nailed that bet. And then once again, we have an upset. Like, it's 10-0 Steelers early on. I'm like, oh, really? Really? And then there was no looking back after that. It was never in doubt whether or not they were going to win. Yeah, that was hanging in the balance, but they were always covering that plus 5.5.
I did sort of get nervous though at the end when Pittsburgh took that lead, and I thought to myself, oh no, this is pick six territory with Flacco. Yeah. We do have that always in the back of our minds. How could we get boned on this game after covering for 56 minutes? How can it happen? But it did not. And the Steelers lose another Thursday night football road game. They are 0-7 under Mike Tomlin when they have to go on the road short week Thursday night. You want to take one guess who sent me that stat? Andrew Williams sent me that stat last night.
Of course.
0-7. Mike Tomlin on Thursday road games.
Yeah, because I don't remember that coming up on the show yesterday. I was like, I didn't see that trend anywhere. That's interesting. One thing,
well,
I
they're road divisional games. Let me correct myself. Road divisional games. So in the AFC North, when they go on the road Thursday night, 0-7. Yeah, all these stats get longer and longer by the minute. But 0-7 and AFC North Thursday night road games.
470 yards for the Bengals offense. 470. The entire game, I'm thinking, Now you see why Tomlin was pissed. Now you see why he calls out the Browns GM. Oh, he must be smarter than everybody else, because I don't know why you would do that. You make him your opening day starter. He's good enough for that, but you're going to trade him in the division and just in time for Tomlin to see him. And Flacco, snap, man. 342, three touchdowns, no interceptions. The Bengals fans are thanking Cleveland during the game. That was hilarious. Tomlin kind of set this whole thing in motion earlier in the week. I think that was funny to think about. And then this morning, I couldn't help it. I saw a bunch of the clips on social from our sister station, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Oh, they're pissed. Oh, they're pissed. It happened again. And then they gotta watch what Baker's doing. Now the third favorite for the MVP. Oh, it's hilarious. They are so angry over there, and I certainly understand why. Oh, man. It was funny, though. We said it right away when the trade was made. I'll tell you what. He's got better weapons than he's ever had before, and then you saw it last night. I don't think that was also, by the way, the idea of the Pittsburgh defense is back. Yeah, let's pump the brakes on that one.
Nope.
Yeah. There's something with Flacco and Chase, though. Flacco's not an idiot. He knows he's the best player on the field. He's going to keep targeting him. We saw it in the second half last week. We saw it all of last night. Those are props that are probably – now the numbers are probably going to be gone. But Chase, rest of season, whatever you can do, whatever kind of angle you can come up with, he's probably going to obliterate those numbers.
I think everybody who made a parlay last night also won. I was getting texts and DMs from people sending me slips, 8, 9, 10 leg parlays. Bing, 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 all the way down. Green, 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 green. And one of my buddies who never wins parlays sent me 3 parlays that won. And I'm like, go figure. Wow. The game that gets over 60 points, you're going to hit your parlays. When things like this happen, when you get games in the 30s, these are perfect for parlay people. Conversely, when the final score is 13-10, everybody's going to lose their parlays. But this was a great night for the public in terms of things to happen. We had Rufus Peabody on, before the last Super Bowl? And he said the best Super Bowl he ever had was the Rams-Patriots, 13-3, because nothing happened. His worst Super Bowl was Eagles-Patriots, 41-33. Because everything happened. Everybody caught touchdowns. Everybody went over their yardage prop. When you alt guys to do big things, everybody hit their parlays last night. So now the room is flush with cash from their Thursday night parlays to make their bets for Saturday and Sunday. Stay tuned for that. Also, this Mike Tomlin defense that we poo-pooed yesterday, I said they were overrated. I didn't think it was this overrated. 33 points. 470 yards. The Bengals were 7 of 14 on third down, and the Steelers took the ball away 0 times. So much for that defense that was getting better.
You said the room is flush with cash after last night. Well, Metcalf didn't go over his number. That was the fourth most popular play. And you might remember yesterday on the show that I was floored. The number one play, someone named Darnell Washington, over 22.5 yards. He had 2 yards. So in a 64-point game, the room found some losers. The most popular bet at the end of the show yesterday was a loser. So, yes, they go 3-2 in the game, but they did find a couple of losers. And I think what's key here is they go 3-2. You think, oh, that's great. But they like to play juice. They want a half a unit. I mean, that plays out. You know what I mean? That's something, man. Okay, AFC North. Pittsburgh's still your leader, 4-2. Cincinnati, they got their first win without Burrow, but now you look at them with Flacco moving forward. I don't know. What do they have? They're in the mix. And then you've got Baltimore 1-5, Cleveland 1-5. Pittsburgh is a favorite, a slight favorite at BetMGM. Pittsburgh plus 120, 1-5 Ravens are plus 135, right behind the Steelers.
It's going to be the Ravens because Lamar is coming back. Yep. The bodies are getting warmer and more available. I actually, on my way out yesterday, as I left the studio on my way to the train, I leaned into Broussard's office, and I swear to God, and he'll tell you this, I looked at him and said, don't let Flacco do it tonight. And he goes, what do you mean, man? And I'm like, don't Wait, let.
Who is this?
That's Broussard. That's Chris Broussard on FS1.
Oh, Chris Broussard.
He's a huge Ravens fan. He's a huge Bro. LeBron. You know who Chris Broussard is.
Yeah.
So I look at him and I go, don't let Flacco do it. And he's like,
what do you mean?
And I'm like, if they beat the Steelers, the door kicks open for the Ravens. He's a huge Ravens guy. Mm-hmm. And I think he thought the season was over. Not anymore. That was a huge swing in the division. And guess what else? Baltimore faces Pittsburgh twice. Twice. And if they're healthy, they're going to win both games.
What about Cincinnati? What do you think they are moving forward if it's Flacco healthy?
The problem when the backup comes in and does this is usually everybody gets really excited and then everything comes crashing down. Like, we know better, right?
Yes, we do. But it's Flacco. This is not a normal backup. I don't know. Overs. How about that? Bengals overs moving forward? We could do that with that defense. Yeah. So last night was a fun game, Thursday Night Football. And then we had the Major League Baseball. We got to get to that. Dodgers take a 3-0 lead. Toronto ties things up. It's 2-2. All right, let's start with the one that's actually still a series. You've got the Blue Jays, 8-2 winners. They were a slight dog, goes over the total again. 10 runs scored in that game, so it closed 7.5. Scherzer, one of many stories. Vlad hits his fifth home run of the playoffs. Dude, it's bombs away. We were waiting through a couple of games for this Blue Jays offense to show up. Here they are, 11 hits last night, and the extra base hits is what really stands out to me. Add two more homers, three more doubles in that game. Blue Jays alive and well. This is now a coin flip series.
No doubt. And if they hit like this, they're winning this series. That was the way they hit in the last round and then just cooled off games one and two, but now we're back. I say we because I was told to bet the Blue Jays at a very bad price, relatively speaking. Before the playoffs, they were 8-1, and I made a little bit of a position on it. So I feel just fine. Have to win two more and then unseat the Dodgers, which is a different story, I guess. The one thing that really made me upset yesterday, though, I think you know where I'm going with this. Everybody in the game homered on Wednesday except for Josh Naylor, who I know picked to homer. Yes. And then he homered in his first at bat last night. And I was like, son of a, like, of course, yeah, of course it's not on Wednesday. It's on Thursday night. So that's the worst thing for me. It's the worst thing when you peg something right, but it happens the day after and not the day of. That is the worst, the worst.
That's part of the reason I don't do home run props. Cause a guy I like, a guy I bet, and then I just picked the wrong day. It's just so frustrating. Yeah, I saw that. I was like, ooh, that's really, really sucks. So top four for Seattle, 0-13 last night. Not good. Scherzer was good. A lot of people not expecting it. I know there were a lot of fringe baseball fans or people just jumping in. Maybe they just watch their team for the most part. They're like, Scherzer's still around? Scherzer's still pitching? Good job out of him. We've got a series, man. I think this is going seven. I said that yesterday on the show. Certainly feel stronger about that one today. Dodgers win 3-1. Dodgers -160 favorites. The under hits, only 4 runs scored in this one. Glasnow was amazing. Why are the Brewers doing this opener thing and they're trying to fool everyone? Like, if you know it's Mizorowski, what's the big deal? Mizorowski was outstanding. Outstanding once he came in, but you put yourself in a 1-0 hole with Ashby. You only allow him to face 4 batters. It's a triple, a double, a strikeout, and then they pull him after a walk in the first inning. It feels like they're trying to outthink everybody and like looking for some sort of a tiny edge because they know that they are no match for the Dodgers.
What they're trying to do, I believe, is give the Dodger bats multiple looks throughout the game. They don't want you to see the same guy 3 times, and that's just the Murphy strategy. He's pulling straws, though. I mean, this is over. Yeah. You said yesterday it was over. 3-0, can hit. The Brewers in 3 straight games. 1 run, 1 run, 1 run. That's it.
Top 6 batters last night for Milwaukee. 1-22. That ain't going to get it done, going 1-22. Dodgers starters have been amazing. Add Glasnow to the list. The room was fading Glasnow, right? That's what they were doing? Oh, yeah. They said under on outs. They said under on strikeouts. they'd be wrong. 1-4 in the Dodgers game last night. So a loser over there. All right. Friday feels on the other side. How are we feeling heading into this big weekend? We'll talk about it. Joe O, Sammy P, BetSweats, the BetMGM Network.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
think.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know we're feeling pretty good after last night, nailing everything going on with the Bengals and the Steelers game, heading into a full weekend, NFL, college football action as well. Got some good games there, and I'm feeling good about the Dodgers, Sam. But I've got a few other things that I want to go over. How about you? What stands out Friday feels for the people?
Well, speaking of nailing, let's start there.
Okay.
I'm not an early person. I like to be up late, and then I try and get out of bed 7:45, and then our show starts at 9. But a lot of my stuff is done at night. You're the opposite. You get up early, and you prep early. I prep late. It's fine. Whatever works. Whatever floats your boat. So the Painters are back, part two. And I guess they were here yesterday to start the second half of our project in the house. So the entire exterior of the house is being scraped and repainted. We talked about this last week. It was at this time last week that they were power washing the side of the house that I was sitting in. So this morning, the sanding, scraping, hammering, and drilling, 7:15 a.m.
Oh, the sanding.
Which for me, oh. Hour and a half straight. Luckily, that part is, I guess, over. The sanding and the scraping has subsided, and I believe they are now just painting, which is nice. I was under the impression that this was going to happen for at least 4 hours, but I guess they did a lot of the sanding yesterday because I got home late last night, 8 o'clock, 8:30, get off the train, get home. So I didn't really see all that they did yesterday. But the sanding, scraping, drilling, hammering did commence this morning at 7:15 a.m., putting me in a very bad mood out of the gate. But I am turning that frown upside down and powering through as one should.
It's a perfect opportunity to go run some errands, go to the store, but you can't because you have to work for the next few hours. Now, after that, then you could, but... Yeah, get whatever.
The best is when you hear, "Well, it's not that bad." Yeah, okay, not that bad.
And you guys don't have like a basement, right?
No. Yeah. Well, we do, but it's not finished. It's not finished.
Yeah, yeah. There's no, you're not going down there to hang out or just get away from the noise, and you can't.
No, I go down there to get asbestos.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Oh man, so done this weekend.
I believe finished up tomorrow. So what isn't finished today will be completed tomorrow. So really not that big of a deal, but my alarm clock should be my alarm clock, not the sound of my house being sanded to pieces.
Oh, man, they got out there early. All right. Yeah. Jeez. That sometimes there you come across people like, oh, this is what you do every day, huh? Makes you happy for your job. Like what we do is the worst thing in the world.
Very happy.
I got a couple sports betting related things, but I'll do the non-sports first like you did. So on the fall ball team, about a month and a half ago, we had a scare with a head injury. It was a scooter accident that could have been really bad, was close to being really bad. Thankfully, everybody's good and healthy. So it was a head injury. So the team is sensitive to stuff like this. We have practice yesterday because tomorrow, if the rain will hold off, we have our semifinal game. So we're just ruffling, going through some stuff. We got very limited time at the end. I'm like, okay, let's do some quick hitting, you know, live at bats, whatever. And I decided to go out there with the machine. And it just in a rush, let's just get it done, whatever. Wasn't thinking. A couple of parents already starting to show up for the kids. And we're just rifling through, getting people in, getting people out. Let's go. You go here, blah, 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 whatever. I didn't grab the L screen. I didn't grab a glove. A kid they call Train comes up to bat. He's one of these kids that, you know, when you're 12, 13, there's always one or two on a team that are just like massive. Like you're looking at up at him. You're getting intimidated. A kid's got to be taller than me at this point already. He spit on a ball right up the middle. I go diving. Boom. Hits me right on the side of the head. And I'm like, everybody's like, are you okay? Are you okay? One of the coaches like, everybody take a knee. No, we're not taking a knee. All right, I'm fine. We're good to go. Little lightheaded, little woozy. I thought about Paul Aspen and the softball incident. Like, yeah, I don't feel good right now. I was a little concerned about going to sleep last night. I'm watching Bengals Steelers cheering on Flacco. Got the ice pack up against the head. As I do this right now, damn. I do feel a bit of a bump. Light headache, maybe concussed if I say something crazy today, but we're good. We're good to go. So how am I feeling? This side of my head, not so good. That's what I think about Friday feels.
I'm very sorry that happened. Can we get the measurables on Train, though? The people need to know how tall, how wide, how much does he weigh?
Massive. Just mass. I'm not saying wide. I'm saying very tall. Very tall, very strong kid. And he's super athletic. You would think, you know, a lot of these teams, when you come across a kid like that, they're slow. Like, no, he's also a basketball player. He's a big. So, yeah. No, he's tall. He's got to be – I'm pretty sure he's taller than me. And I was 6 foot at one time. I'm probably shrinking. I've been checked in a while. It wouldn't surprise me if I were going up to a wall and measure myself if I were 5'10 at this point. I'll probably be 5'7 by the time I'm dead. But yeah, no. Big kid. Big kid.
I was going to say, my size, 6'2", 220.
Not 13. Quite. He will be. He will be for sure.
He'll probably be bigger. He'll be bigger than me for sure.
Yeah. They're all – it's crazy. Like my son is way bigger than when I was – 12, 13, way bigger, not even close. I think most of them are. So yeah, Friday feels not feeling so great. What about sports betting? It's all good. My first thought was like, I don't know if I'm doing the show tomorrow. And also good thing it wasn't straight on to the face. Cause that would have been bad. If like I'm doing the show and you see stitches of a major league baseball on my forehead, cause that's
right.
What would have
happened. Friday feels domestic violence, right? Oh, here. No, it's a baseball. I swear.
You see Rob Manfred's like, signature on my forehead. Yeah.
So hold on. Before we do more sports, I want to talk about the take a knee coach. Cause that's very funny. The take a knee like that guy.
I hate the knee. I hate taking a knee. I hate it. Go ahead.
We had a coach at Carmel, sophomore baseball, who was like the third coach. You know, there's the manager, the head coach, and then there's the second guy who people respect, and then there's the third guy who shows up like every other day, maybe.
Yes.
And the third guy for us was the take a knee, men, one of those guys. This was also a guy we used to practice at Jackson Park. For those that know Jackson Park, we didn't practice at the school. We practiced in the hood at Jackson Park. Uh-huh. So he would take one of the nicer bats on the team because the rich kids all had like the DeMarinis and the, you know, whatever, like the really fancy bats, the stealth bats. Mm-hmm. During practice or during like the educational part of practice, he would take somebody's really nice $300 bat, go into the outfield and look for golf balls so he could throw them up and crack them with what? The DeMarini.
What? That's insane.
I know. He was insane. He was a lunatic. So then people would wonder why their bats were all messed up. Oh, because coach was in the outfield during the downtime of practice lining golf balls from Jackson Park with the DeMarini.
Why was he taking the nice bats? Idiot.
Because he was a hillbilly. That's why.
So I was going to ask you about the price because, like, you're a bit younger than me, but the nice ones then were $300.
Yeah, about $300, $400, maybe. They have to be double now. I mean, I'm talking now, 2003, 2004.
And any new bats, like $500 to $600 now that the kids are willing to say that they want. Yeah. Crazy. What a racket.
This
that
guy
is.
used to have Lipton. Oh, like, take a knee. You know, take Lipton, a knee. The pouch. Yeah, take a knee. And he'd be in the outfield looking like Hato from Rookie of the Year, teeing off on golf balls.
You're so right, though, about, like, the third coach, the guy who's there every other day. Like, yeah. The one on my team is a fireman, so obviously he can't be there because you're on watch for 24 straight hours. But yeah, every team has one of those too. It's like they're there once in a while when they can be, you know. This guy is in golf balls. What an idiot! For what? Smoke,
like throwing him up, and then just cracking golf balls. Yeah, and then he'd also do this if you're watching on video after he'd hit one really well. He'd do this and he'd watch it. He put his hand above his eyes and watch it go. Oh, what a hillbilly he was.
Oh, man. What a clown. All right. Anything else jumping out for Friday feels?
I want to give a shout out to the Bulldog from WGR. He had a parlay last night that cashed at 182-1.
Get out.
He said it to me last night. Yes. Yes. Not going to tell you how much he won. I don't kiss and tell. I don't put people's business in the streets. But here's his parlay. Darnell Washington touchdown. Noah Fant touchdown. Jamar Chase touchdown. Flacco 250 passing yards. And the Bengals money line.
Oh, man. Yeah. We talked about the Bengals yesterday. That's a great one. I mean, last night was the perfect night for it. If you're into touchdown parlays. Boom, boom, boom. Look at all the total is 45. It went, 19 over? Something like that? What a game for props.
33-31. So, yeah, flew over.
Yeah. What a night for props. That's good. Good job, Bulldog. He's on he owns Thursdays. Like every week he's hitting something big. Some touchdown prop that's 6-1 or double digits. Good job. Speaking of Thursday night football, I've thought it. This has confirmed it. It's like, put it in stone. Never, ever Thursday Night Football and Survivor. We've had three straight weeks now. We go Rams favored by 8.5. They lose to the Niners. Last week, Eagles favored by 7.5. They lose to a rookie quarterback in Dart and the Giants. And then last night, you've got the Steelers 5.5-point road favorites. All division games, because that's the thing now with Thursday Night Football, they lose. Three straight big favorites losing outright. Quick turnaround, Thursday Night Football. I think that's part of it, Sam. And then, like, you think back to earlier in the year when the favorites did win. They were close games. Seattle, Arizona was close. The Bills game against Miami, yes, they win by 10, but that ended up being close for way too much of the game, and we know how terrible the Dolphins are. So never, ever. Survivor Thursday Night Football, never forcing it.
Don't do it. No Thursday, no Jaguars. No. Joe O's pinnacles of betting Survivor, along with GRP's number one commandment, pick a winner.
That's
favorite
a little bit
commandment.
That's good.
Yes. That's the best one. Also, before we step away here, actually, we have about 90 seconds. Let's give a shout out to Brian Gerch, who has a football coach that decided Indiana was a better job than Penn State. Kurt Cignetti, come on down. 8 years, $11.6 million per year. I tongue-in-cheek said, why would he leave Indiana? It's a better job than Penn State. Now, we could fight about that until we're all dead. I mean, there's no real way to prove that, but, I mean, clearly he's content staying at Indiana. 5 years ago, Kurt Cignetti signed a deal at James Madison for $425,000. Now he signed an extension at Indiana, 8 years, $11.6 million per year. He bet on himself, and he won.
Man, I didn't even think you were saying it tongue-in-cheek. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. Indiana right now, in 2025, with the state of everything going on, it's a better job than Penn State. And I saw the YouTube video. There were some people that were arguing about it. We got a lot of views. Check it out if you want to know what we're talking about on the BetMGM Network YouTube page. But, yeah, man, I agree with that. Good job. Good job, Indiana. They're not playing. They're not going to sit around and wait until somebody else is coming and offering stuff. Like, he got a raise in the offseason too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now they – and then they did it again. How many times are we going to have to keep doing that?
2 years ago, $4.5 million. Last year, $8 million. Yesterday, $11.6
million. Wow. Good on them making that commitment.
Per year.
We love you. Don't go anywhere. Please. Speaking of college football, we'll talk about our college football MLB bets on the other side. This is the BetMGM Network.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Caroline Fenton with us on the show the other day. Joe O. Sammy P. Get you set for college football, Major League Baseball. Today we got two more games, and then we'll get to some NFL action coming up. Welcome in. This is BetSweats, BetMGM Network, BetMGMNetwork.com. Subscribe on our YouTube page, the BetMGM Network. We're here weekdays 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time, crying during the break, listening to Sam's old baseball stories about the third coach. I love this man. I had a lot of questions. We talked about cargo shorts, the facial hair situation, and the stupid phrases. Baseball's got so many of those. Like, your average person listening in would have no idea what any of it means. And probably people on the team have no idea what this means or that means.
My brother listening live from his house in Illinois said, yeah. Jackson Park, shout out. And then sent me a picture of a brand new orange stealth bat for $700.
So, now?
Apparently, yeah. That's what an Easton stealth brand new bat costs, $700.
Yep, that actually makes perfect sense. If you walk into a Dick's Sporting Goods, go to that baseball section, you'll be amazed if you haven't been there in a while. And the funny thing is, like, now we're at the age, oh, now you got to go to a drop eight. And then next year, you got to go to a drop five, meaning the bats get heavier. Every year, got to buy a new bat now. There's that thing, too. Yeah, good stuff. Go to glove section, too. They're all $350. Anyways, the parents know all about that, too. They know what I'm talking about. All right, college football. I actually wanted to get to this during Friday Feels, but I'm glad we actually saved it because something that I was feeling was on the heels of our conversation with John Murray yesterday. Clarity. I think a little bit of clarity on some spots, and you saw it right away. You actually stopped and said, Joe, did you notice that? Yes, I noticed it. You noticed it. Hopefully our audience noticed it. And John fairly brought up, it's not something that hits all the time, but it is certainly worth discussing. And what we're talking about is we'll find out where the room is at. And I can't wait because college football, they've been something special. But there are two particular underdogs that he's saying they're betting a lot. And when I say they're, it means the public. They're betting these two dogs, and then the point spread is going in the other way. You don't have to be in this too long to figure that out. So the respected money is on the other side, where the majority of the money is coming in on the dog side. And that is USC Ole Miss. And I get it. In fact, I was probably one of those people on Monday. Like, I looked at it, I'm like, boy, Ole Miss getting more than a touchdown? USC, we're out to 9.5? Like, and I had that first reaction. And then you start looking at the matchup a little bit more. And then you start talking to people about where the sharp plays are, the respected money, which side they're on. Do you really want to be against all that? Oh, I see why the line is climbing. Oh, look at this matchup. Look at that matchup. Look at the weather conditions that we might be getting. I understand what's happening with Georgia and the revenge angle that they have. I get it with Notre Dame and the running backs out for USC, and you're probably going to have to run the ball in the rain in South Bend on Saturday. And you know what I mean? Like, it's all lining up. A little bit of clarity, Sam, after our conversation with John Murray. What do you think?
Well, it's mostly money that's driving said clarity. When more tickets are on one team, but the line is moving the other way, that is the definition of pros against Joes. We don't need a bookmaker to tell us that. I mean, it's nice to hear where the tickets are, but when you hear the tickets are on X, but the line is moving to Y, that's it, right? That's it. That's the nuts. And there are several games like that this week. I wrote about it in the newsletter. Arizona State's another one. Arizona State was 11.5 on Monday. And then Sam Levitt came back to practice, their starting quarterback. Remember, he didn't play against Utah. And I was talking to a couple guys this week who said that Dillingham, the head coach at ASU, basically kept Levitt out. He got hurt against TCU the week before. And then they went to Salt Lake City to play Utah. Well, guess what happened at Utah all day, game day? Thunderstorms. Bad injury to the foot. Not bad, but enough to make you wonder. Aligned with thunderstorms, slippery field elements, let's just keep them out. So that was a late breaker last week. Oh, Levitt's not going to play. But the plan always, as we were told this week, was he was going to play against Texas Tech. So that number has gone from 11.5 on Arizona State catching the points to now 7. There's a 7 at BetMGM right now. There's 7 all over Vegas, all over offshore. That's another game where you're going to have more tickets on Texas Tech, because guess what? Texas Tech has covered every game this year. People have made money on Texas Tech, so they're going to bet Texas Tech. But the money is on Arizona State. That's happening in a couple other games. Notre Dame, which we mentioned, Georgia from 6.5 through the 7 to 7.5. And then the other big move is injury related. Did you catch at the end of our show what happened to the Clemson line against SMU?
Did not.
Apparently, Cade Klubnik's not playing this number went from 10 to 5.5, SMU against Clemson. They absolutely destroyed it. Vegas Rick was calling me. We were taping bear bets. I was like, I can't answer this phone. He called me 3 times. And I finally was able to reach out after we're done taping. And he goes, you won't believe how much I bet on SMU. And I'm like, what happened? I have no idea what happened. He goes, Klubnik's not going to play. I said, official? He said, no, but he's not playing. And I'm like, okay.
Right.
That line went from 10 during our show to 5.5 by lunchtime. There's a 5 right now at Chris on Clemson laying the points to SMU. That market move tells you that Cade Klubnik is not playing for Clemson.
Yep, for sure. Oh, wow. That's a big move. No doubt about it. Another one. This Penn State-Iowa number, now we're out to 3 at some spots. I've seen books go to 3.5. Jeff Schwartz is like, they're dead. They're done. And then the more and more you look at it, what could be down the road, what it sounds like is happening in that program, if it's not this week, it's going to be a while before Penn State wins a game. If you plan on betting Iowa, you got to do it now, right? Like, there are still some 2.5s out there. I don't think there's any way. Where's the Penn State money coming from? Who's going to line up and back Penn State? I know you've had a tough time with the power rating, and it's certainly understandable. The look ahead is Penn State minus 10.5, and now we're looking at it going to Iowa minus 3, 3.5.
My favorite set of ratings moved Penn State from a 91.5 to, I'm still scrolling, 91.5 to a 80.5. So drop them 11 points with no quarterback and no coach. The issue is you don't really know how far to go. I mean, you're guessing at this point, and then you make the money, or you book the money for that matter. I mean, a power rating is one thing, but if the power rating is off, the market's going to tell you. And when we saw this number open in Vegas, it was Iowa minus 3. Initial bet came in on Iowa out to 3.5. Then some Penn State money came back in, knock it back through the three. But now we're basically sitting three.
Yep.
The issue that I have, and I think a lot of odds makers have, how do you quantify a team that's quit? If, in fact, they've quit, which one would argue when you lose to Northwestern, you've quit. But how many points is effort worth, right? I mean, it could be worth more than a 10-point drop. I mean, to go from 91.5 to 80.5 is a huge move in 1 week. But if they lay down and die and just have no effort, I mean, Iowa could win this game 24-3. I don't know what to do with it. I think you're right. It'd be Iowa or pass. But it's impossible to quantify what Penn State we see on Saturday. It's impossible.
Yep, 100%. I do want to mention Vanderbilt. You pointed out right away that this was pick'em, and we've moved to 2.5. Now there are threes popping. Vandy minus 3. And it's just historically, there are some amazing factoids about this. So Vandy's going to close as a favorite unless we get some quarterback news. You mentioned 51 straight games. They've been an underdog in SEC games. Amazing. This is also the first time Vanderbilt has been favored against a ranked opponent since 1978. That is 176 games. They've been going against ranked opponents and they were the dog. Well, it looks like they're going to be the favorite. Also, the first time they've been favored against LSU since 1948.
The end of World War II.
It's crazy. Yeah. This is insane what's happening. But you got no play on the game, right?
No, I wanted to get to LSU, and I stayed off it because I had smart people say, don't do it. So
yeah,
in my racket, that's good enough. If I hear from two or three sharp people, don't do it, I don't do it. Paul, did you see what they did to our Maryland squad? They blasted it. Maybe they were all watching 10 toes down yesterday. Maryland during our show was 3.5. Now it's 2.5. So somebody somewhere did some work with a shovel on Maryland.
Let's go Terps. I think they are 3-0 against the spread as a dog.
Good.
For what it's worth. As a favorite, kind of more mixed. As a big favorite, more mixed. But close loss to Washington. Close loss to Nebraska. Should have. Arguably could have won both games. And UCLA, yeah, let's sell the top here.
We got four games tonight, Joe, and a couple of game day moves. Miami was 14 basically all day yesterday, and people wake up this morning and they want to bet Louisville. That's fine. I understand it. It's a big number. I just need Carson Beck to play a great game. So those numbers are now 13 or 13.5. They took the points with Louisville today. And a move in the 9:00 Eastern game. San Jose State, people are fading San Jose State. There's a rumor their quarterback is not healthy. But Utah State went from 3 to 3.5 to 4.
All right, good stuff there on college football. Coming up next, we start to break down this NFL card in detail. Sides, totals, props. We'll tell you where we're at heading into the weekend. Kelly in Vegas will join us in her usual spot, 11 a.m. Eastern. Joe O, Sammy P., Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland.
You know,
the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.